Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump strikes a conciliatory tone on trade.
Stocks around the world gain on hopes of a breakthrough with China.
As the dollar strengthens, signs emerge the rally is coming to an end.
Up next, Wall Street awaits the latest U.S. data on inflation.
He's not happy with it, but President Trump isn't saying whether he'll veto a bipartisan deal to avoid a government shutdown. Plus, an NYPD officer was killed in the line of duty. I'm Michael Vaughn. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Howard Sports. The Rangers, Islanders, and Devils all on the road. They all lost. St. John's won in overtime over Butler.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks around the world are rising on hopes of a breakthrough in trade talks with China. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 57. NASDAQ futures up about 26. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.3%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury up 0.2%. Yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 58 cents to $53.68 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 60 cents to $13.1460 an ounce. The euro, $1.1319, and the yen, 110.68. Nathan.
Karen, let's begin with President Trump's new conciliatory tone on trade talks with China. The president now says he could let the March 1st deadline for higher tariffs slide.
The 10% or $200 billion goes up to 25% on March 1st. And so far, I've said don't do that. Now, if we're close to a deal where we think we can make a real deal and it's going to get done, I could see myself letting that slide for a little while.
Those remarks are fueling hopes for a breakthrough in the trade war, though obstacles remain. Saleha Mohsen reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Now it just looks like he is really hoping for a deal and willing to make some concessions. But the problem is that the policymaking process so far, from what we can see, has not been a traditional one. There is no documentation, draft agreements going back and forth. There is no paperwork that we have heard about to show that they have concrete proposals where one side is willing to make concessions.
Mid-level discussions continue today in Beijing. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin join the talks tomorrow.
Well, stocks are getting a boost from renewed trade optimism. We're still a very long way from a deal. That's according to Hannah Anderson, global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management.
The shift in rhetoric has been to a continuation of a pause, not a resolution. And I would be highly cautious that we would see any sort of fundamental shift and an actual agreement that resolves trade tensions between the U.S. and China in the next week or couple of months.
U.S. stocks rose following the president's comments yesterday, with the S&P 500 closing above its 200-day moving average for the first time since early December.
And it was a similar story in Asia today. Equities there gained for a second session, as the MSCI Asia-Pacific Index now up 10% from its December low. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Chinese and Japanese markets were among the strongest performers in the region, while energy stocks propelled Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index higher for a third session. The Nikkei 225 added 1.3% as the yen remained weak against the dollar amidst the risk-on bets. The yuan also edged higher in both the on- and offshore sessions, but it was the Kiwi which was the currency story of the day, surging the most since November as the RBNZ kept rates at a record low 1.75% and push their hike forecast into 2021. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Stocks in Europe are also getting a boost this morning. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The Stock 600 up for a third day, gains of 0.3% this morning. The best of those coming from the chemicals sector. You've got the paint and coating maker AkzoNobel beating estimates. That stock rising today. Utilities suffering, though. They're among the minority of sectors that are falling. On your best gainers from an individual stock perspective is Heineken. Full-year earnings there beating estimates, and their shipments of flagship brand products rising the fastest in more than a decade. The shares of Heineken up by almost 5%. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. The latest reading on industrial production out of Europe shows output across the euro area falling at the fastest pace since the financial crisis. Figures show industrial output fell 0.9% in December. That was twice as much as forecast. It makes for the steepest annual decline since 2009.
We're also getting inflation data out of the UK. Consumer prices rose less than forecast in January, up 1.8% from a year earlier. That's down from 2.1% in December and misses the Bank of England's 2% target for the first time in 2 years.
Here in the US, we also get a reading on inflation today, with economists forecasting the consumer price index rose 0.1% in January. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
The Federal Reserve's decision to suspend interest rate hikes portends tame inflation. In December, the CPI was unchanged for the second consecutive month. Looking ahead, Bloomberg Economics says service costs could be sensitive to rising labor costs. A weak dollar, meantime, could shift goods prices. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. And while the dollar has been anything but weak, that trend could soon change. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live to explain. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Currency funds are holding net short positions on the U.S. dollar. This according to a Citigroup index. That signals further dollar gains may be hard to come by after the longest winning streak in 3 years. The reason behind the changing trend? The Federal Reserve's dovish shift is diminishing the greenback's appeal for currency speculators. According to Bloomberg surveys, economists predict the dollar will weaken against the euro, yen, and pound throughout 2019. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. And on the corporate front, we're seeing shares of Activision Blizzard up nearly 3% in early trading. The company announced a turnaround plan that eliminates 8% of its workforce after a disappointing sales forecast from the video game maker. Futures on Wall Street pointing to a higher open this morning, with S&P futures up nearly 4 points, Dow futures ahead by 45, NASDAQ futures up 21.5. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what's happening in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Will he or won't he sign it? President Trump is playing down the threat of a second partial government shutdown after a tentative deal was reached on border security funding. However,
I can't say I'm happy. I can't say I'm thrilled. But the wall's getting built, regardless.
Sources tell Bloomberg President Trump is likely to grudgingly sign the legislation and then immediately use his executive authority to fund additional border measures. The deal reached Monday night includes only a fraction of the $5.7 billion the president wanted for a border wall. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Please, Mr. President, no one got everything they wanted in this bill, but sign it and don't cause a shutdown.
A budget bill must be signed into law by midnight Friday to avoid a second shutdown this year. Meanwhile, we're learning more about what federal workers went through with the first shutdown that ended last month. According to a Prudential survey of more than 350 workers, more than a fourth missed a mortgage or rent payment, and almost half fell behind on bills in general. New York City police say a detective was killed by friendly fire last night while responding to a report of an armed robbery in progress. NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill.
His fellow officers put him in a marked police car and transported him here. But the trauma staff did their best to try to save him, and we thank them for that. They were unable to do so.
Officer Brian Simonson was 42 and had 19 years with the force. The suspect was shot and is in stable condition. It turns out the suspect was armed with a replica handgun. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he plans to put the Democrats' Green New Deal to a vote.
I've noted with great interest the Green New Deal. And we're going to be voting on that in the Senate. We'll give everybody an opportunity to go on record and see how they feel about the Green New Deal.
Senate Republican leaders who joined McConnell criticized the measure, saying it would increase energy costs. The Green New Deal, unveiled by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was designed to fight climate change. Out of 3,000 or so dogs, he was positively the best. A White Fox Terrier won Best in Show at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show King at Madison Square Garden. Global News, 24 hours a day. I won't do that again. Air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Sit, Michael. Sit. This is coming up on 610 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, unlike here, nice and sunny in Port St. Lucie yesterday as Mets pitchers and catchers showed up, including the ace, Jacob DeGrom, reigning Cy Young winner. Not eligible for free agency until after next season, but the two sides will talk about an extension during spring training. Once the regular season begins, the talks will shut down, and Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen, who's a former agent himself, okay with that.
Jeff Berry and I have been in contact. That's Jacob DeGrom's agent. We continue to have dialogue, and this concept of an opening day deadline for contract discussion is a mutual understanding. There's no reason for a distraction to carry into the regular season, and we will continue to have dialogue over the course of this spring and see where those discussions lead. But the last thing either side wants to do is have it be a distraction once the season starts.
Yankee pitchers and catchers will be in Tampa today. Former Yankee greats Derek Jeter and Jorge Posada were always the best of friends, and now Jeter reportedly has hired Posada to assist him in running the Miami Marlins. All three local hockey teams on the road, and they all lost. Rangers had a third-period lead at Winnipeg, but fell 4-3 despite two more goals by Mika Zibanejad, now has 25 on the season. The Islanders lost in Buffalo 3-1, ends their three-game winning streak. St. Louis crushed the Devils 8-3. The Devils have lost 10 straight to the Blues. Good win for St. John's, helping their chances of making the NCAA tournament. The Red Storm down Butler in overtime. Mustafa Heron scored 28 points. What a win for Duke, down 23 midway through the second half. Blue Devils roared back to win at Louisville by 2. Kentucky upset by LSU on a tip-in at the buzzer. Fordham lost to Davidson. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
And John, in sports book news, New Jersey is now the first state in the U.S. that allows wagers on the Academy Awards. Casinos say it as a way to attract more customers who might not be traditional sports fans. Futures on Wall Street pointing to a higher open, and you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we get the preview of the latest read on U.S. inflation coming out later this morning. Bloomberg Economics Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna joins us. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Stocks around the world are rising as President Trump strikes a conciliatory stance toward China. That's fueling hopes of a breakthrough in the trade war. Meanwhile, China's president is stepping into trade talks. The South China Morning Post reports Xi Jinping will meet with the US team on Friday. Cleveland Fed Chief Loretta Mester says the economy is slowing but showing little price pressure. She says rates will have to rise if her baseline outlook is correct, but there's no need to act preemptively. And Goldman Sachs is doubling down on its bullish oil outlook. The firm sees Brent peaking above $67 next quarter, driven by healthy demand and output losses that already exceed expectations. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up 4.5 points, Dow futures up 54, NASDAQ futures up 24. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 65 cents to $53.75 a barrel. COMEX gold little change up 30 cents to $13.14.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1315, and the yen, 110.68. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says he's not happy with a tentative deal struck on border security to avoid a government shutdown. However, the president is downplaying a veto threat against the bipartisan measure. Sources tell Bloomberg President Trump is likely to grudgingly sign the legislation and then immediately use his executive authority to fund additional border measures. The tentative pact provides $1.37 billion for 55 new miles of border fencing. in Texas's Rio Grande Valley area. That's far short of the $5.7 billion President Trump wants for the wall. In the NHL, the Islanders, Rangers, and Devils all lost, along with the Capitals. The Bruins were winners. In the NBA, the Warriors and Celtics won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker, and live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. A major theme of today, inflation. We get a report on consumer prices this morning, and Bloomberg U.S. economist Carl Riccadonna joins us now with more. Carl, I don't know about you, but I've filled up the car lately, and that's put a smile on my face. I know that's not core, but that's still inflation, or the lack of it.
Oh, John, wait till you get your utility bill for this month and see what natural gas prices have done. That smile may very quickly flatten out, if not turn into a frown. And, in fact, that's something we're watching very closely in the overall inflation numbers. Again, as we think about monetary policy, we should look at the core. But there's some pretty big cross currents as we watch fairly consistent declines in gasoline prices, which are helping consumers, but natural gas prices are providing a pretty sharp offset. Now, gasoline generally is more important, but that will definitely dampen the so-called euphoria due to falling gasoline prices.
Okay.
As we look at the core, we'll see some inflation pressures.
All right. Well, where do wage pressures show up in prices?
Well, that's a very good question. You really can't have a sustained pickup in consumer prices if you don't have a sustained pickup in consumer wages. But we are seeing that, and we're seeing it to a greater degree now than we have. So much of this cycle, we've been waiting for a low unemployment rate to start driving consumers' wages higher, and it wasn't happening at 4.5% unemployment, 4% unemployment. Now that the economy has started to print some three handles on the unemployment rate, we, in fact, are seeing those wage pressures. That means greater demand for goods, which drives inflation. It also means the input costs for a lot of things, especially services, are rising as well. So really, we should watch this bifurcation between goods prices, which are very sensitive to import prices and the relative strength of the dollar, and the larger category of service prices, which is very sensitive to workers' wages.
Now, the Federal Reserve has its preferred measure of inflation. What is it? The PCE deflator is what it's called. It's right around their objective at this point, is it not?
It is indeed right around their objective. So what we're getting today is the Consumer Price Index, which tells us pretty much the same thing as the PCE deflator, but the CPI, for technical reasons, tends to run a little bit hotter. And so when we look at core inflation, it's running at about 2.2% year-on-year, whereas PCE deflator is at 2%. Now, last year, inflation accelerated by about 0.4 or 40 basis points. In the CPI category, and it is poised to continue accelerating over the first half, at least, of 2019. That's going to drive the Fed's preferred metric above their target. They won't panic, but this does mean that most likely the next move from Federal Reserve policymakers, it may not seem like it based on what we've heard in December and January, the next move is indeed going to be a hike, and we think that next hike could come as soon as Q3 of this year.
Okay. Carl, there's a disconnect here for me. A lot of bond investors are pricing out the possibility of the Fed raising rates this year. And I bet you're going to tell me that bond investors get paid to be pessimistic.
Well, indeed, that tends to be a bias in that community. That being said, if we look at Fed funds futures, we can actually see the markets dallying in the possibility of a rate cut either at the end of this year or early next year. And we have had, you know, a difficult earnings season for stocks and some negative economic news. But as we look at the broader outlook, this is still an economy growing above trend, not as much as it did in 2018, but still above trend. And above trend growth drives inflation. And inflation above the Fed's target is going to keep them in the picture for rate increases.
Okay. Let's remind everybody of your forecast, not just for inflation, but for the Fed reaction function this year.
Sure, absolutely. So we think growth will be above trend this year, probably in the vicinity of about 2.4%, in lagged response to a very robust year last year, which was closer to 3.5% growth. We will see inflation pressures move into the vicinity of 2.5%. So 2.4% growth, let's say 2.25%, 2.5% on core inflation. That is going to lead the Fed to raise rates in both Q3 and Q4 of this year.
Bloomberg U.S. economist Carl Riccitano. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Thank you, John. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover, Wisconsin's disastrous $4.5 billion deal with Foxconn. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com for the global stories that matter most.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks around the world are gaining for a second day as President Trump says he's open to extending a March 1st deadline for raising tariffs on Chinese goods. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has details from Hong Kong.
President Trump says he'd do so if a deal seemed within reach. It's clearly a conciliatory signal. Negotiators are locked in further talks today before senior officials meet tomorrow. Here in Hong Kong, the South China Morning Post reported that Xi would meet key members of the U.S. delegation Friday. That means Robert Lighthizer and Stephen Mnuchin. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thanks. UK inflation is back below the Bank of England's 2% target for the first time in 2 years. Consumer prices rose a less than forecast 1.8% in January.
Here in the U.S., we get a reading on inflation at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, with economists forecasting the consumer price index rose 0.1% in January.
On the earnings front, Cisco Systems leads more than 20 companies in the S&P 500 reporting today.
Shares of Heineken are up more than 5%. The Dutch brewer reported full-year earnings that beat estimates.
On the flip side, shares of Groupon are down more than 9% after an earnings shortfall.
Crude is gaining ahead of the Energy Information Administration's weekly oil inventory report due out at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers reports.
U.S. crude stockpiles are seen increasing by 2.4 million barrels. That's based on a Bloomberg survey of analysts. In this week's report, investors will also focus on the change in domestic crude imports. With Saudi Arabia pledging to lower production this month, we'll be watching to see if less foreign crude is shipped to the U.S., which would prove bullish for the oil market. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jessica, thank you. Meanwhile, the International Energy Agency says the political crisis in Venezuela risks disrupting global crude markets. The IEA says the type of oil pumped by the OPEC member could become increasingly scarce. Checking prices right now, West Texas Intermediate's up about 1.4% or 73 cents at $53.84 a barrel. Brent is up 1.6% at $63.46.
S&P futures are also higher, up about 6 points. Dow futures up 69, NASDAQ futures up 29, 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.68%, yield on the 2-year 2.51%. COMEX gold is little change, down 10 cents at $13.1390 an ounce, and the euro is at $1.1317, the yen 110.68. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has the very latest on what's happening around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump is downplaying the threat of a second partial government shutdown. It comes after a bipartisan deal for border wall funding. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president says he's not happy with the deal, but...
I don't think you're going to see a shutdown. I wouldn't want to go to it now. If you did have it, it's a Democrat's fault.
Now, he didn't get all the money he wanted for a wall.
Doesn't matter, because we're doing other things beyond what we're talking about here.
He says he'll be getting $23 billion for border security, although he hasn't explained how he got that number. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Now, sources tell Bloomberg President Trump is likely to grudgingly sign the legislation and then immediately
use his executive authority to fund additional border measures. The tentative deal reached Monday includes $1.37 billion to build a barrier on the southern border, enough for about 55 miles. It's a far cry from the $5.7 billion the president demanded. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer says everybody had to give something.
The president should not make the same mistake he made a couple of months ago when there was a bipartisan agreement and he wouldn't sign it and cause the shutdown.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
He, as well as all of us, ought to wait until we've actually read the final deal. I have recommended that if it becomes what we think it is, I do recommend he sign it.
We're learning more about the previous government shutdown, the longest in U.S. history. According to a survey of federal workers by Prudential Financial, more than a quarter of federal employees missed a mortgage or rent payment during the shutdown, while 49% fell behind on bills in general. An NYPD officer has paid the ultimate price. Detective Brian Simonson was killed in the line of duty last night, shot by friendly fire while responding to a call of an armed robbery in progress at a cell phone store in Queens. The suspect, it turned out, had a fake weapon. Commissioner James O'Neill talked to reporters outside Jamaica Hospital where Simonson died.
Friendly fire aside, it's because of the actions of the suspect that Detective Simonson is dead.
Simonson was 42 and had 19 years on the force. Lawyers for Joaquin El Chapo Guzman say they'll keep fighting his conviction. Guzman was found guilty on all 10 counts of running a criminal enterprise that smuggled drugs into the U.S. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshaw.
Nathan, how good is Duke? The Blue Devils may end up having the top three picks of the NBA draft. They struggled last night at Louisville, fell behind by 23 midway through the second half, but then a furious rally. Duke finished on a 35-10 run and survived at 71-69. The freshman sensation Zion Williamson with 27 points. LSU on a tippet at the buzzer, won by two at Kentucky. St. John's and Butler went to overtime. Red Storm pulled it out, 77-73. Mustafa Heron had 28 points. St. John's on Sunday will host Big East leading Villanova. The Rangers were in Winnipeg. They trailed 2-0 and then led 3-2 after Mika Zibanejad power play goal minute in the third period, his second goal of the night, 25th of the season. But the Jets came back. They beat Henrik Lundqvist and the Blue Shirts 4-3.
And the last two goals kind of get stuck with a player both times, and it kind of, in the third one, I never picked it up until it was kind of beside me. And then the fourth one, I think Adam goes down trying to block it, and I get stuck with him and kind of don't get set. So it's frustrating. I feel like even myself, I battle in this game to try to make the right things and get rewarded, but result is the same. Very disappointing for us as a group, but even for me personally.
Islanders lost 3-1 at Buffalo. The Devils trounced in St. Louis 8-3. The Celtics beat the Sixers, which could be a preview of an NBA first-round playoff series. Warriors beat the Jazz. Golden State's won 16 of 17. The Lakers lost in Atlanta. LeBron James' team now under 500, very much in danger, not even making the playoffs. As Mets pitchers and catchers gathered in Port St. Lucie, the Mets admit any talks about a contract extension for their ace Jacob DeGrom will end once the regular season begins. DeGrom's current deal has 2 years left. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshauer. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
President Trump has nominated David Malpass, a senior Treasury official and former Wall Street economist, to be the next leader of the World Bank. For what it's worth, Malpass's experience as a finance professional and a high-ranking economic official make him a lot better prepared for the role than his predecessor was. What matters more than credentials, though, are the ideas that the next president will bring to the job. The World Bank needs to move away from outmoded development lending towards supporting programs that the private sector cannot adequately finance, including efforts to mitigate climate change and to improve the lives of the poor. A detailed plan of action should be demanded from each of several strong candidates to be the bank's next president. The bank's board owes this to the taxpayers who support the institution. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It's nearly 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Patrice Sikora with a look at supply concerns for the auto industry.
Last year it was cobalt. This year, automotive battery makers are concerned about supplies of nickel. Bloomberg analysts attending the Advanced Automotive Battery Conference Europe in Strasbourg, France, say leaders in the business are warning about supply constraints. A shortage could pose a risk to electric vehicle battery production in the near term. According to a leader in the industry, prices could jump from the current $13,000 a ton for nickel to as much as $20,000 to $25,000 a ton. Of course, all the fears over nickel may ultimately be shown to be overblown. Regardless of the near-term outlook and price volatility, Bloomberg analysts question whether any shortages or spike in nickel prices would be enough to disrupt the electric vehicle industry. Rather than derail activity, they note changes could lead to a delay in the widespread adoption of new designs, and that would slow the adoption of advanced, lower-cost batteries and possibly slow cost reductions. That's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
Patrice, thank you. Video game maker Activision Blizzard is announcing plans to eliminate 8% of its workers as part of a turnaround plan. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has details.
It is part of a company-wide reduction, an effort to get the maker of Call of Duty back on track after a disappointing forecast. The layoffs would affect hundreds of workers of the company, which expects to record a roughly $150 million expense in connection with the belt tightening. The announcement extends a tumultuous stretch for the video game industry. Electronic Arts and Take-Two Interactive Software both saw their stocks plunge last week after they released earnings. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And investors appear to be on board with Activision's plans despite a disappointing sales forecast. Shares are up nearly 3% in early trading. S&P futures nearly 6 points higher. Dow futures ahead by 65. NASDAQ futures up 27.5. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we do have this headline crossing the Bloomberg, the Spanish parliament blocking the 2019 budget bill. We'll have more on that as it becomes available. Futures this morning, meanwhile, are moving higher. And we go to the first word, breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading in the green right now with Dow futures up 61 points. S&P's gained 5.5 and NASDAQ futures climbed by 27. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.68% and Shanghai rose 1.8% overnight. Well, European markets are also climbing, led by gains in the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the Consumer Price Index. And regarding earnings this morning, Hilton beat estimates. In other news, GM and Amazon are in talks about investing in electric truck maker Rivian Automotive. And in deal news, Bain and Carlyle are set to weigh a joint bid for Germany's Osram. Regarding the trade situation, the South China Morning Post reported that President Xi will meet with the U.S. trade team on Friday. And wrapping things up, Molson Coors was downgraded to hold over at Deutsche Bank. Huntsman downgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan. Freeport was upgraded to overweight at Morgan Stanley. And Shopify upgraded to outperform over at RBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg time, squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says he's not happy with a tentative bipartisan deal reached by lawmakers to avoid a second government shutdown and fund a border wall. The president also says, though, he is not expecting the government to shut down again. Sources tell Bloomberg President Trump is likely to grudgingly sign the legislation and then immediately use his executive authority to fund additional border measures. The acting defense secretary, Patrick Shanahan, made a surprise visit to Iraq. Shanahan arrived in Baghdad yesterday to visit with Iraqi leaders to discuss U.S. troop presence in the country and the fight against the remains of the Islamic State. In the NHL, the Islanders, Rangers, and Devils all lost, along with the Capitals. The Bruins were winners. In the NBA, the Warriors and Celtics won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, a wire fox terrier called King, he's so cute, has been crowned America's top dog. King won best in show at the Westminster Kennel Club dog show last night in New York. Nathan, he beat out other competitors such as Bean, the Success Spaniel, and Wilma,
the boxer.
Wilma!
Yeah.
Well, you know, with a name like King, I guess the Wire Fox Terrier's owners called it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he is very cute.
I've seen pictures. Oh, yeah. My goodness. I have a beagle named Bracey.
Aw.
Best in fleas. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Mike Labarre. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
And Michael, I got a mutt. He's not going anywhere near any dog show. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump downplaying the threat of another government shutdown, with a path potentially cleared on border security. Today, the president meets with his Colombian counterpart. He'll also speak at a law enforcement conference in Washington. And T-Mobile's CEO, John Ledger, testifies on Capitol Hill today about his company's proposed takeover of Sprint. Let's get more on the border deal. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is with me. And Kate, as we've heard this morning, the president says he's not totally happy with the deal, but it's looking like he just might take it.
Exactly. And that's what we had kind of suspected it all along, basically, is that this may be a way for Trump in some ways to kind of save face by taking this deal, avoiding another potentially perilous politically government shutdown, and, you know, trying to find other ways of funding his border wall aside from just this, you know, one piece of congressional legislation.
And I guess one of those other ways is the possibility, perhaps, of a national emergency declaration. Is that still on the table?
It certainly is. And I think that that is something that Republican lawmakers are trying to tap potentially other sources of revenue in order to dissuade Trump from going that route, because I think there's a general sense that that would be both politically and legally perilous. But I think that, you know, it certainly still, from the White House's perspective, appears to be on the table.
Yeah, and I guess Republicans, I mean, it almost looks like they're sort of shaking out the couch cushions looking for extra money from other sources. What could those sources be? And what's with this $23 billion figure the president put out on Twitter?
Yeah, so it's a bit unclear where the president got this $23 billion figure from. But the Republicans in Congress, people like Roy Blunt, have been talking about trying to find others, tap other revenue sources. For instance, perhaps Army Corps of Engineer money. Another one that's been discussed out there is money that's been forfeited by criminals that could be used to redirect it for the border wall. So basically, as you described it, it does feel a bit like shaking out the couch cushions and just trying to find whatever money could possibly be tapped through the congressional appropriations process, rather than leaving it to Trump to try to take action on his own via, you know, some kind of an emergency declaration.
Yeah, it's interesting that you point out lawmakers talking about Army Corps of Engineer funds again, because we'd heard that possibility a week or two ago, and we've heard pretty strong blowback on that from, among many others, the governor of Puerto Rico.
That's right. And, you know, certainly it won't be long now. We're in February, but it won't be long now until we're back in the summer, in the fall, and I'm sorry, the late summer, where we get into hurricane season. And, you know, it runs a risk. It's almost a bit ironic in a way that they are talking about taking money from levees, which in some ways are a wall, you know, to keep out natural disasters, to build a border wall to keep out people. So, you know, there could be some fallout down the road if there is some kind of, you know, a hurricane or flooding or natural disaster after Republicans tap money for Army Corps of Engineers projects for what a lot of folks view as kind of a Trump vanity project at this point.
Yeah, and when you talk about fallout down the road, I mean, that raises the specter of the 2020 presidential race, and the president, I mean, setting himself up for that, you know, in the State of the Union address and coming out of this last government shutdown. I mean, is this going to continue to be an issue for the next year or so?
I think so. I mean, I think it's important to keep in mind that this is an issue that the president campaigned very hard on in 2016, and one that he views as a winning issue politically, because I think he's very focused on looking at what energizes his base, not necessarily on trying to reach out to independents or more middle of the road, even conservative Democrats. I think that Trump has shown that he sees a path to victory based on his performance in 2016 that's built around motivating his base. And he sees this as an issue that very much does motivate his base. And so I would expect him to continue through 2020 to press this issue and try to once again chart a path to victory that relies heavily on the right flank of the Republican Party.
All right, just a few seconds left, Kate. Is there time to avert a government shutdown, get a bill, you know, crafted and all that?
Yes, is the short answer. Congress tends to move pretty quickly. They dilly-dally when they have a lot of time to work with. But when push comes to shove and the deadline is bearing down on them, they seem to be able to move pretty quickly. So I would imagine unless Trump or someone else throws a monkey wrench, a last-minute monkey wrench into this deal, which certainly remains possible, that Congress will go ahead and approve this and move quickly to do that.
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to speed. As always, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and listen to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2 in Washington. It is 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. If the retail industry could offer advice to media giants like Disney and AT&T, it might be this. Don't underestimate the power of free. Americans love free stuff, so much so that a recent survey by Deloitte found that most online shoppers will choose free shipping over paying for faster delivery. So what does this have to do with television? Well, it seems every media company is introducing its own subscription video service to tap into the success Netflix has had. But the price of all these apps will add up. That presents an opportunity for ad-supported streaming products like the Roku channel and Pluto TV, which Viacom recently agreed to acquire. Free options might be as compelling to some viewers as they are to online shoppers, even if it means settling for a less-than-ideal service. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Carries every weekday at this time. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. At 6:56 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Sentiment among U.S. small businesses slumped in January to the lowest level since Donald Trump became president. It came as the economic outlook weakened amid the longest ever U.S. government shutdown. The National Federation of Independent Business Optimism Index fell 3.2 points, the lowest since November of 2016. That's below the median estimate of economists surveyed by Bloomberg. The net share of companies expecting business conditions to improve in 6 months declined to 6%. That's the lowest since October of 2016 and down from a post-election peak of about 50%. The survey suggests the political stalemate in Washington over President Trump's demand for a U.S.-Mexico border wall was weighing on business owners. The 35-day shutdown, which ended January 25th, halted loan applications while the Small Business Administration was closed. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. And a little more on that headline we gave you moments ago. Spain's parliament blocked the ruling Socialist Party's 2019 budget, significantly increasing the chances that Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez will call an early general election. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up about 7 points, Dow futures up 75, and NASDAQ futures are up about 32. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.